Hey everyone, welcome to Garden Fork Radio. Thanks for downloading the show. My name is Eric. This is the Eclectic DIY podcast. It's a companion to my YouTube channel, also called Garden Fork. Today we have a special mystery guest. We're going to be talking about e-bikes or electric bikes with a special bike expert. Hello, Rick.
You know what an expert is?
What?
An ex is a has-been, a spurt's a drip under pressure.
Oh, God, that's like a bad dad joke.
Isn't it? How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Like everyone, I think the pandemic is starting to grind. Winter is coming, but there's two women that run the front end of the bagel shop near me, and They are just so hardworking. And I'm like, they're like, how are you? I'm like, oh, it's starting to get to me. And they go, things are getting better, Eric. And I'm like, okay. And so whenever I start to overthink everything, I just think of what they said to me the other day. And I'm like, oh, so things are getting better.
Things are getting better. What's amazing to me is my life hasn't changed much at all.
Well, that's good. I mean, you have your own world within the confines of your yard.
Yeah. And with the confines of my house, and mostly I'm stuck in my own head, I think, but it's just one of those things you do.
But you're getting in better shape. Because you bought an e-bike and mentioned it to me. And I think I didn't think it really stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And it did. Cause then I saw an ad for an electric bike on a website. I was reading the New York Times, I think. And I actually never click on ads, but the ad was so good. And I was so interested in the idea of the product that I bought an electric bike.
Good on you. I've had one for about 2 years now. Mine is the Karmic, K-A-R-M-I-C, and it's the Coben S model, which is a commuter model. It has fenders and a front light and a tail light and that kind of stuff. It's made for people in a bike rack, so it's made for people who might be wanting to ride one to work. Yours is which one?
I got a Rad power bike, and it is the Rad City 4.
And it looks very much like mine. It has fenders, front and rear lights, and a rack. And of course, the power pack look is exactly like mine. So what are the advantages of owning an electric bike over a... First of all, there are three classes of electric bikes. Mine is what they call a Class 3. Which means that you have to get any assistance, you have to pedal.
Yes.
And I knew from the beginning that, lazy SOB that I am, that if I could just motorbike around with it, I would never get any exercise because I have, if I'm not pedaling, I'd ride, that's mm-hmm. just the way I am. So I made myself get one that I had to pedal. How is yours?
Yes. This, the Rad Power bike, you have to pedal as well.
Okay. And I forget exactly what the other two are. I think there's one is of the three classes of electric bikes. One is you don't have to pedal. And then there's one that has a higher speed limit or a lower top speed limit. I forget exactly. But the thing is, a Class 3 bike is acceptable almost everywhere. That you can ride a bicycle. In some cities, they put limits on, particularly the ones that are really just little electric powered motorcycles that you don't have to pedal. And so, I'm thrilled with mine. There are a lot of differences between yours and mine when I look at them. Mine, for instance, now mine was a Kickstarter. And mm-hmm. it was built from the ground up to be an electric bike. And my motor is actually at the crank where you pedal.
Yes.
And you have a hub motor. And that's where the electric power comes from yours.
Yeah, I am. To be honest, I did not do a lot of research
about
this. I just was really impressed by the company, and I saw a very in-depth review of the bike I wanted to buy. It was like a 25-minute video, which I will link to, done by this e-bike expert guy whose YouTube channel is all about electric bikes. And I'm right. like, okay, I'm sold. And two of my neighbors have, Schwinn puts out an e-bike, Specialized puts out an e-bike, and they were considerably more expensive. And I'm right. like, I'm frugal anyway, and I don't have a lot of spare money. And I thought, well, I'll try this one. Cause my knees are starting to hurt when I pedal my regular mm-hmm. bike, and the house in the country is on a hill. My house in Brooklyn is on a hill. So,
well, and the thing is about this, a lot of people say, well, you know, why bother? You know, why bother riding a bike if you're not going to get the exercise? What this gives me in my case, and you and yours, because your knees are crapping out, I've already had my knees replaced. Yeah. Do it sooner rather than later. It gives me, I run mine at the beginning. I run mine with no power. So I'm at the zero power setting. So it's just a bicycle. And I ride out as far as I want to, look around. I can feel like I can go farther than I would have normally mm-hmm. because I know I'm going to have some assistance coming back if I need it. And that's one of the important things for me. There are only two big, this place is a bicycling heaven. Yeah, it's an effluvial outflow from the James River that's grown over. And so it's flat as a billiard table over here. And the only high points we have are bridges going over waterways. And so I've got two bridges in my neighborhood that I have to go over. And it's nice to be able to power over those instead of just going to a lower gear and you know, really pumping and huffing to get over the top. But in the end, I can get sometimes 15, 20 miles away from the house and feel comfortable that I can get back okay.
Yeah, I was really, I had never ridden one before. It came in a box and there was some assembly. With the Rad Power, the trickiest part is the handlebars are...
They're as opposed to the rear handlebars, yeah.
They're cable tied to the chassis of the bike and you have to undo it. And I wasn't really paying attention to the video. And I just kind of like, whoop, put them on. And I'm like, there's something wrong here. And I had twisted the handlebars. And so the cabling was twisted for the throttle and the brakes and the control cable for the little LED thing. And
right.
So I had to kind of watch the video about six times to figure out how to undo the twisting I had done. But that was the hardest challenge. And then you have to charge it. Right. And then I just hopped on. I the one avenue above me, it has a little less traffic. So I was like, okay. And so I rode over to Sunset Park and I noodled around and it took a little bit of learning to figure out how to use it. But, it was like I'm pedaling and going faster than I think I should.
Yeah. That, the other thing that the difference between your mic and mine is you have a standard gearing system, right? You have,
seven speeds.
And so what, two on the front sprocket and three on the back?
Or? No, it's just all in the back. It's on the back.
It's all set. In the back. Okay. And mine actually has a continuous variable transmission. It's just like a Prius, really. There's wow. no, and so I just turn the handle and get exactly the speed I want without having to shift around or whatnot. But I'm like you, when I had mine in the most powerful position for going, and then I had the speed all the way up to the top, I was flying and I was like, this is too fast.
Yes. Yes. I have it in there's four levels of assist that you just hit this mode button and it shows on the screen.
Right.
I have it on the lowest one. And then I just use my seven speeds because I want the exercise. I just need a little help getting up the hills. And if I get a little too far from the house,
right.
It's really neat. It's very cool. I also, like the story of how the bike company came about. The guy that started it lived in Northern California, I believe. And the bus ride to school was an hour and a half.
Oh my.
And so he started to ride his bike, and it was 16 miles to school. And he'd get to school all sweaty. You know, he's in kind of a nerdy, you know, high school kid. And people are like, why are you all sweaty? So he, over several years, electrified his regular pedal bike, buying parts online and having them shipped to him. And then he was at the farmer's market one day and with his bike, and someone said, I want to buy one of those. And so he started making custom electric bikes. And then he went to college, and he had a college friend who was a marketing whiz. I'm kind of paraphrasing the story here. And he's the marketing whiz. And so they started this social media campaign, and they bootstrapped the company with no outside money. And they've built it into one of the biggest selling e-bikes.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's interesting. This one has about the same,
creation story,
origination. These people, his name's Ken Hong, designed this bike and did the original, Kickstarter for it. But he'd been doing the same thing for a long time because he lives in San Francisco and works downtown, and you know, those long hills going up and down, up and down, up and down. And yeah, you know, he would arrive all sweaty. And he says, you know, there has to be a little something better than this. And so he started building his own, as well.
The, Guy Raz has an NPR podcast called How I Built This. And the gentleman who started Rad Power Bikes is on there and tells the story. So it's kind of a good story. I like that.
Yeah.
Shameless plug here. I actually learned this after the fact that I bought the bike, but I can give everyone a coupon code if you would like to buy a Rad Power Bike. And then I think I get an Amazon gift card for like $20 or something. I don't know. But I really like the company. And so in the links of this show, I will put the link for a coupon. They knock some money off the price of your bike. So.
Oh, good on that. I'll be real honest. When I compare your bike and my bike, if yours had been available, you know, 2-3 years ago when I bought mine, I probably would have gone for the exact one you have.
It was about $1,600, which is I've never spent that much money on almost anything except a computer.
And I was
like, okay. And
mine right now, now I paid less, but, this one's $3,500 now.
Yes. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great bike and I love it. And I'll keep it forever. But you know, just, you know, comparing features to features, I'd be really interested in the Rad bike next time. In fact, She Who Must Be Obeyed is having trouble with her knees now. And, so I may end up with a Rad bike for her.
What I have found, I essentially got a city, what I call a city bike. It's that kind of frame. And what I want is, I'm 5'10" and a half, maybe just shy of 5'11". I'd love to say I'm 5'11", but I'm not. And this bike, the front wheel and the front handlebars are a little high even for me. And so I have to tilt the bike to the side a bit to get up over it when I have the seat as high as I really like the seat. So that's something to think about. If you're shorter, you might think about one of the step-through bikes that Rad Power has.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing they have, which is actually intriguing to me, they have a cargo bike.
Yes. Yeah.
Think of it as an extra long frame, fore to aft, with a big area in the back that's reinforced to carry, you know, shopping or whatever. I think people know that my we called it the primitive Prius, the second generation we had. It died a few months ago, and I couldn't replace it immediately. I couldn't find what I wanted. And I'm beginning to think, we'll see how winter goes, but I'm beginning to think, geez, we really don't need two cars. I could, you know, with this bike and, you know, runs to the store, I'm researching trailers now for a little bit of hauling.
Yeah. I'm very excited because I got this bike and then I was like, as soon as I rode it, I'm like, this is going to sound really bougie, okay? But I'm like, I can ride the Whole Foods. Or I can ride to Costco. Costco's in my neighborhood. Whole Foods is in Park Slope, which is north of me in Brooklyn. But and then I was reading, and the New York City Department of Transportation has found that people that own e-bikes travel twice as far in their bike as people with pedal bikes. And I don't want to use my car in New York City. Once I get it parked, I don't want to move it, but I don't have to go to Whole Foods, but there's some stuff there I'd like to get. And at Costco, I buy a bunch of stuff that can't quite get into a what we call a granny cart around here, or a push grocery cart. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, with the Rad Power Bike, I have the back rack. I've got some baskets from my pedal bike that'll slip on. And I'm like, I can go to Lowe's. I can go just about everywhere I want to go that I would normally go with the car. Because we have more bike lanes now in New York City, dedicated bike lanes, and I can just use my Rad City bike, and I'm really happy.
You know, I want to see you. I want you to have somebody take a picture of you carrying a 4x8 sheet of plywood on your bike. But I know what you mean. You know, strangest thing I saw the other day was a guy in a pickup truck, and he had a 8 or 10 foot length piece of lumber sticking out the side window of the pickup truck, and there was nothing in the bed. And and if he'd made a really close, say, left-hand turn, you know, he'd taken out telephone poles with that piece of wood. And I was like, what in the world's wrong with you, man? And actually I got to looking, and he had a bed cover on, and that was his problem. Yeah. He got it set up just the way he wanted it, and it looked all cool, and he didn't want to make it a real utility vehicle. There are some terrific looking trucks coming down the line, all electric, and not that Tesla thing. That's not a pickup truck, really.
I
love Tesla cars. That truck is just weird. I mean, a truck is something that you can drop the tail on and load it with all kinds of gear, or you can put a cab on it or a utility bed in it, you know, just slide it in a unit to go work or something.
Right. The Tesla's a vanity truck.
Yeah. Good line. Yeah.
Actually, Tesla has a Tesla Y now, which has a hatchback. And that has got me thinking, interest rates are very low right now. I have... Mm-hmm. A giant solar array on the roof of my house. I feed power back to the grid every month.
Right.
And I could charge my electric car out front. And so I wouldn't have any gas. I have an electric bike. I got an electric car. I have a solar array on the roof. So I even have a negative carbon footprint.
You might. You know, our Prius Prime, I can't quite bring myself to say I don't want a car with a motor just in case we want to make a really long road trip. Although in Europe, where there are electric cars everywhere, what people do if they want a long road trip, say, is rent a car for a weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. But our Prime has a spare battery. It's extra battery. And it will give us about 40 miles on one charge. And I was looking at it the other day, and I realized that I'm going to have to put some gas stabilizer in the gas tank, because we almost never burn any gasoline around here, just because, you know, we're old people and with the virus going around and stuff, we have no place to go. And so, you know, and I looked at my gas mileage gauge, and it was like 995 miles per gallon. Well, it's because every night we plug it in and we use the battery and almost never touch the gasoline.
Yeah. I wanted to turn round back to the Rad City 4 that I got. The frame size is 18.5 inches, but that's the handlebars ride high. It has a really nice front suspension, but the bike I have will go up to 45 miles per charge. So it really depends on the level of power assist you pick and how much you pedal with the bike, which is a little different than the car. But does there a top end mileage you found on your bicycle?
I've got it. Mine's about 40 miles, but I've never touched it. I mean, I just am looking at the gauge that says, you know, how at this power setting, you've got 40 miles.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. I was looking at the different varieties of your rads. Not only are they step throughs, a lot of them are, here's a folding rad.
Yes.
A mini rad that would be good if I were still sailing. I could put that, you know, tied to the side of the boat on the, you know, sailors do this all the time.
Or an apartment, you know, if you have a small apartment.
Yeah. And so this is quite an innovative thing. But the step through, I'm looking at that, the Red City Step Through 3.
Yeah,
I might get one of those for She Who Must Be Obeyed.
I'm excited by the Rad or any kind of cargo bike. Amazon is actually in Brooklyn using, I think they're Rad City cargo bikes. They sure look like it. I don't see the logo, but and then they have a trailer attached to it, like you were talking about. So.
Right.
Are there any negatives to having an e-bike, you think?
It's heavy.
Yes.
All of a sudden, before the primitive Prius died, I'd had a trailer hitch put on it so I could just mount a little bike rack. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you got to have some real muscle to get it up onto a big bike rack that's kind of at eye level or something.
At chest height, basically.
Yeah, chest height. There you go. To slip it on there. And so I got a bike rack where it supports the tires, and I just have to lift it a little ways to put it on there. But yeah, they're heavy. And obviously, if this is one of those math or physics equations where, you know, mass and speed are not your friend if you hit something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Rad City has a really nice, the front fork has shock absorbers,
mm-hmm.
which is nice, but it is quite a bit heavier than my regular, I have a regular city bike, which is a Specialized, that's that brand. And I can just whip it around, you know, I walk it through the apartment and I put it in the backyard and I have some hooks on the fence and I just lift it up and hang it on the fence. And I don't want to do that with the Rad City bike because the hooks aren't very well affixed in anything, but right. I was very surprised the first time I tried to swing the rear end of the bike around in the apartment. And I'm like, oh, wow. <That's> But then it's got a motor that does regenerative braking. So when you're going down a hill and you hit the rear brake, it's taking the energy and putting it back into the battery.
Oh, so it's like a Prius. No, my bike does not do that. But that's interesting. But Priuses do that. You know, when you step on the brake, they'll regenerate a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of energy. But it's always nice to do these things. Oh, and they have fat bikes too, fat tire bikes.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. And the Rad City 4 was $1,500. They have a slimmed down version, which is a fixed gear. And that mm-hmm. is about $1,000. So, yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Well, so I'm all for bicycling. It's amazing. No one expected the bicycle boom during the virus pandemic.
Really?
And bike shops have been hustling and bike manufacturers have been hustling to turn out as many bikes as people have been buying. So it's been interesting. My neighborhood all of a sudden has just become this, it looks like Amsterdam or something, the way, you know, all the people are riding in the evenings.
There have been there are several advocacy groups in New York City for more bike lanes and what I'm calling protected bike lanes. So on 4th Avenue in Brooklyn now, 4th Avenue is a pretty long road that goes from Bay Ridge to where Flatbush Avenue and Atlantic Avenue cross. And if anyone knows the Williamsburg Bank building right next to the arena, that's where it ends. But they've put a bike lane right at the curb Then they have the on-street parking. Then they have the car lanes, and they've narrowed down the car lanes.
That's the way it's done. Yeah. Get some big metal between you and the moving traffic.
And they've made the car lane, the regular driving lanes, a little narrower, and psychologically that slows people down.
Right. Wow. And so are they going to start having a bike tax in New York?
Who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had this discussion on, you're a member of Nextdoor, the online community.
Right, we have one for our area here, yeah.
Yeah, and somebody was like, yeah, my dog got away, and they charged me, and the pound picked it up, and they charged me, you know, $15 fine for a loose dog. And I think that's just wrong. And I said, yeah, you got to make up your mind here. You either want full services and everybody pays, or you don't want to pay for services you don't use. And then in this case, there are a lot of people that don't have dogs. They don't want to pay for services they don't use. Right. And so you paid a use fee, you know, to have your dog picked up and taken care of and protected and not hit by a car. And so just accept, you know, the use fee that you paid to the city for taking care of your animal. But, and eventually we're going to have to do this with bikes because, mileage, people driving the car, as the car mileage gets better, and as people drive less and as electric cars online come online, road taxes are paid through generally gasoline taxes.
Yes.
And so, yeah, if you need roads, you're going to have to find some way to pay for them. And just because it was this way for 100 years doesn't mean it's going to have to be that way for another 100 years.
Interesting. I went to Bass Pro Shops the other day, and we were talking about how bikes are hard to find. There were no boats, no quads, or those ATVs, mm-hmm. Very little fishing equipment, almost no camping equipment. And that's a huge store, you know? And so, they had these aisles and aisles of like fishing lures, and on each of the little hooks, there's one lure, you know? So they're filling out the aisle to make it look like they have product, and they really don't. And I was like, wow. So it's not just bikes. People want to go paddling or boating as well.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, what are you doing about a helmet?
I have a big ass helmet.
Good. You know, the reason I ask, I thought a helmet is a helmet is a helmet. And I bought one off a peg at a discount store.
Yeah.
When I first got this bike. And I light up like an ambulance when I run to go down the street. I've got a front flashing white light. I turn my white light that's supposed to be for pavement on. Of course, the backlight is on. I've got a flashing backlight. I have a light on the back of my helmet. When I get my trailer, there'll be a couple of lights on the trailer.
Yep.
Because people need to be aware. But this lady, our bike lane on my main road, Great Neck Road, is about a triple wide sidewalk up on where the sidewalk would be, and you share it with pedestrians. But as you go through the commercial parts where the shopping centers are, there's a lot of left turn traffic into the shopping centers. And this one lady just did not see me. And I saw her coming and steered away, and I hit a pole with my head, and it split the helmet right in two.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yes. It did not hurt me, but I thought it wasn't that hard of a hit either. Mm-mm. So I thought, I know you and I love Consumers Report for, what is it, $24 a year, $48 a year. It's one of the best buys you can get. They tested bicycle helmets, and I went and bought. Turns out the one I had tested at about a 15 number. The one I bought tested at closer to 85, you know.
Yeah, you get what you pay for there. Yeah. I have one by Bell, B-E-L-L, which makes motorcycle helmets.
Right. I'm trying to remember the brand name. I had to special order it, but I mean, it has the, it's, of course, it's breakaway. It's supposed to, you know, these things are supposed to break when on impact,
right?
But mine has some gel packs inside and some styrofoam crush areas and that kind of thing. It's just a little bit better quality. And, you know, I don't want to end up, you know, drooling all over the computer here, because I had a crappy helmet. So
save your brain.
Yeah.
Not to foam over the Rad Power Bike Company.
Oh, but, you're too late now, man.
The front light does not flash. It'll only go on, but right. The back tail light, you can set it to flash and blink.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you apply the brake, it goes brighter. And on my, on my pedal bike, I have a front and back LED lights that blink really bright. And yeah. I'm going to buy some of those for my e-bike, because in New York City, because I drive my car, when I see bikes coming and they have that flashing bright LED light on the handlebar, I see them much earlier in traffic.
Right.
And the flashing back one, I mean, it's all of $15. I'm like, I got to turn them on, and I just want people to see me.
Yeah. I have an add-on light that's like a brake light. And when it has an accelerometer in it. And when it senses me slowing, it flares bright red, you know? And so, you know, I try to do all the right things just to, but the other thing I like is lights, particularly front lights that flash at an odd pattern. Mine's flash, quiet, flash, flash, quiet, flash, flash, quiet. So it's not, you know, just constant on, off, on, off, on, off. I'm trying to attract a little more attention. And I think the eye sees an odd pattern better than just a constant on and off, or just a constant light.
Oh, wow. I will say, some of the bike lights, they only have like one control button, and you have to be a 12-year-old computer nerd to figure out how to use the darn light.
The other thing is, my lights are all rechargeable. And if I forget to recharge, I'll be out riding. All of a sudden, nothing's happening. You know, I notice the lights aren't working when I get off the bike or something. But then if you leave them plugged in all the time, that's not good for the battery, and it reduces the life of the battery. And so it doesn't last as long either. Have you seen, now I've only seen it at the Apple store, but there's a helmet and a Bluetooth connection to a switch you put on your handlebar, and you can flip the switch left and a left arrow on your helmet flashes or on the right. And also it has a decelerometer in it. And when you stop, the entire back of your helmet lights up.
Wow. I have not.
Yeah, it's about a $500 helmet or something. It's outrageous, but
not to plug Rad Power Bikes again, but my bike has a USB outlet.
My bike has a USB outlet,
so you can power your phone. But if your brake lights are failing, in addition, mm-hmm. your additional brake lights, you could plug them in to the USB outlet.
Now there's a thought.
Yeah.
I see that. I was looking at the ads online here, and there's this attractive young woman carrying her Rad down the stairs on her shoulder. And I'm like, I don't know.
the lighter ones, they print the weights. So
yeah, she's a lot. She's been on the, she's been to the gym, I think. Old farts like me, you know, I just love the idea of more people riding bikes. How are you securing your bike? I mean, you got an investment there. When you stop at Whole Foods for your chai latte, how are you going to take care of that bike?
They have it's a third party lock on the site. And if you buy the e-bike, buy it right away. It's called an A-bus wheel lock, and it mounts around the back fender and the back fork.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically push down this little rod, this knob, and this steel loop comes around and locks the tire to the frame. And then there's a adapter chain which allows you to wrap the chain around, a street sign or a bike rack, and then you plug that into the same wheel lock, and that thing is not going anywhere.
Okay, excellent.
So that's not cheap. It's $46.29. So that is $67 or so. Yeah. But it's well worth it.
Yeah, and yeah, you got to. One of my complaints about Nextdoor.
The community site next door.
The community site next door. It's nothing with the site. It's the people.
Yeah.
Someone came into my shed and stole my bicycle. Someone stole a bicycle from my front yard. Can you imagine that? And it's like, at some point you have to be responsible for protecting your own gear. I mean, it's not like they cut the bicycle off a rack in broad daylight.
Right.
And I'm constantly finding bicycles and taking pictures and posting them on Nextdoor, in places where I ride. So, here's an abandoned bike. Here's an abandoned bike. For those of you who remember or don't remember, back in late June, I had an extreme gallbladder attack. My little gallbladder strapped on a suicide vest and blew up.
Which we're going to post that show.
Oh, are you? Okay. We talked about it, and then it was like, man, that's kind of a bummer, you know? And so we didn't put it up, but I am extremely better. Amazingly, since that surgery, I've lost 35 pounds. It's helped me a lot. Turns out a lot of it was just this kind of simmering infection, whatever going on, causing enormous amounts of inflammation that was, swelling up the cells and whatnot, but I'm all better. I'm riding my bike. I'm not gardening. I had a terrific set of tomatoes to go in, just as I got sick and went to hospital. And by the time we got back, they hadn't been watered in my grow tent, and they had all died. And so I just gave it up for the season, but I'm back for next year.
Yay. Rick is back.
Yay.
All right.
Well, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
And it's so good to be heard. As my friend says, it's better to be seen than to be viewed.
All right. I think people have finished folding their laundry.
Because I bet so.
They're not going to work. They're just folding their laundry.
Yeah. I'm going to get out of my pajamas next week, maybe.
So I will put a link if you are interested in the Rad Power bike. There's a coupon, and it knocks a couple dollars off the price. And then they also send me a thank you gift card. So, I mean, just, it's, as you can tell, I'm a big fan of theirs. So, but
well, they've got folding bikes, too.
Yeah, they have everything. They're
holy moly, this guy is really.
And go listen to the guy being interviewed on the podcast. I'll link to that as well. So,
okay.
All right. So, Rick, you will be back.
I'll be back. Rick is back.
All right. Go out and do cool stuff and tell us. It's radio@gardenfork.tv.
The Brick is back.
Garden Fork Radio is produced in Brooklyn, New York by Garden Fork Media, LLC. Our executive producer is Jimmy Gooch. You can learn more about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. The music for our show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.